Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Something Rhymes with Purple, with me, Susie Dent, sitting opposite in my kitchen, Giles Brandreth, who is smiling at me with a cup of coffee in front of him.
Cup of tea, actually.
As a cup of tea.
I gave up coffee about 3 years ago because of acid reflux.
Oh, lovely.
We should start on a rather personal note. But I was getting sort of chest pains. Oh, it's a heart attack. It's a heart attack. My wife said, oh, for God's sake. Oh, God. But I went to the doctor, and it turned out to be acid reflux. I had those things, they put things down your gullet.
Endoscopy. You know. Is that an endoscopy?
I think it, or was it the other endoscopy? It's a colonoscopy. Anyway,
you've had
them.
You've had everything.
I began to sound like Kenneth Williams. Up here, down there. Anyway, it turned out to be nothing more exciting than acid reflux. Though acid reflux can be serious, but mine wasn't the serious kind.
Good.
So, but the guy said, maybe, you know, cut back at the coffee.
Okay.
So I gave up.
You were addicted to coffee. Every time you texted me, you said, I'm sitting in a particular coffee shop.
Starbucks.
You were addicted to one. Okay, Starbucks. And Did you know Starbucks was in Moby Dick, by the way?
That's the origin of the name. Yeah,
right.
That's where Starbucks comes from.
But
from
this is relevant, Moby Dick. Isn't it? Because today we are talking
But
about
I have to finish.
Food.
I'm sorry. We'll get on to food in a moment. Just there will be people who've also got chest pains, upper chest pains, particularly when they lie down and think, oh my God, it's not a heart attack, it's acid reflux. I gave up coffee. 3 weeks of withdrawal symptoms.
Oh.
Terrifying.
What happened? Headaches?
Headache, migraines, pains in the leg. I couldn't sleep at night.
Restless leg syndrome.
I don't wish to use the word, I have to use the word, constipation, the like of which honestly made me realise how awful it must be to be wanting to have a baby, but not being ready to have a baby. It was terrible. It was terrible, terrible, terrible. So I'm never going to drink another cup of coffee again for fear of going back to those withdrawal symptoms.
Going back to that constipation.
So it's a cup of tea here.
Cup of tea. I'm glad to hear it. This has got nothing to do with food, but it reminds me of a time when I couldn't hold it together on Countdown. Nobody else found it funny, and probably none of our listeners will either. But the word costive came up.
C-O-S-T-I-V-E.
Yes, for seven. And the dictionary defines it as one, unforthcoming, two, constipated. For some reason, I found that hilarious. And
there's a little schoolgirl in you,
yeah,
isn't there?
Yeah, I'm afraid sometimes
giggle.
Very sniggery. Even Rachel didn't laugh at that one, and she always makes me corpse on the show. Anyway, enough of constipation, because actually we're talking about food today, and I know they're related, but we're going to talk about nice food.
I hope we are.
Food that has positive effect upon your body, hopefully.
What is your favourite meal?
Well, I'm veggie, so it would probably be some kind of spicy veggie Sri Lankan curry. That would be mine. How about you?
My favourite meals are undoubtedly breakfast and afternoon tea.
Oh.
I love breakfast.
I love breakfast.
I am also now a veggie. And when I need to lose weight, I'm a low-carb veggie. My low-carb rule is no bread, rice, pasta or potatoes. You will lose 2 pounds a week if you follow that regime.
Okay.
And so during those weeks, my breakfast consists of a chunk of cheese with some Marmite on it.
Mm.
An avocado cut into little squares.
We have to talk about avocados. They're related to testicles.
A tomato cut into four.
Yes. Love apples, otherwise known as.
And a boiled egg cut in half.
Okay.
So that's what
very
I,
healthy.
That's what I would have for breakfast. And it's
two
really
things to pick
delicious.
Up there.
Yeah.
One is breakfast. We never think about breakfast. It's such an obvious word. It's when we break our fast.
Mm.
Seems it just wears its heart on
the fast of the night, as it were.
Yeah, exactly. And avocados, I have to mention this.
Some religious connotation as well, because when I was a child and used to go to France on exchange holidays, I was brought up as an Anglican, but we went to the Catholic Church because that was the family. On Sunday, you couldn't have breakfast until you had been to Mass.
Uh-huh.
The children were allowed to have cocoa or hot milk, but the parents didn't have anything. And you couldn't have breakfast, you couldn't break your fast until you had been to Mass. So may there be some connotation there?
That's very interesting, quite possibly.
Of
I mean,
the
it's very,
of that.
it's very, very old. So it might well have been rooted in the Christian tradition or other religious traditions, indeed. Avocado, you mentioned, because that's a mangling of an Aztec word, believe it or not, that was picked up by Portuguese explorers who couldn't pronounce the Aztec word, much as I can't. It's something like ajuatl, something like that. And to them, it sounded like avocado, but actually, that was their word for a solicitor, but that didn't really matter.
A solicitor? Oh, yes. Avocat, as in the French word, a lawyer. Yes.
And it slipped into English that way.
And that comes from advocate, of course.
Exactly, avocat, all linked. Advocate. But they didn't really care. It sounded, you know, meant the same thing. They just thought, well, it's a bit like our Jerusalem artichoke. Nothing to do with Jerusalem. But back to avocados. In sort of taking away the Aztec name, we applied a bit of a fig leaf because the name itself means testicle because of the fruit's shape. So when you're eating your half an avocado, you're actually eating a single testicle.
Avocado.
Figuratively speaking.
Avocado means testicle in what language?
Well, it goes back to an Aztec word.
The Aztecs called their testicles avocados.
Spelt A-C-U-A-H-A-T-L.
Ah, so
have you... Try pronouncing that.
I don't speak much Aztec, but have you seen my avocados in Aztec means have you seen my avocados? Do you know, watching this program, Naked Attraction... I've seen
not
more.
Again.
No, but I'm hooked on it. I'm absolutely
I can tell.
On it.
You're obsessed.
No, I'm not. Well, I'm a bit obsessed. But the point is, I'd never really seen avocados before. And now it's avocado after avocado or braces of avocados night after night on this programme. Bizarre.
Is this where they start from the feet and then go up?
Oh, yes. Listeners, if you haven't seen this programme, the reason I'm talking about it is I did Celebrity Gogglebox.
Be careful
and they,
if you do.
They showed us this programme called Naked Attraction, which obviously I would never have watched at home, wouldn't have dared. But with Sheila Hancock, 87, and me holding hands
anything
on
goes.
Anything goes. And she you should have had Sheila on it. It was absolutely hilarious. So we've learnt that about avocado. So what are the words that fascinate you to do with food?
Okay, well, should we start with breakfast?
Please.
As we've introduced that. So, coffee, are you a fan of...
I used to be a coffee...
Sorry.
You know, put yourself together. I'm Giles Brandreth. This is Something Rhymes with Purple. It's a podcast. She's on drugs. This is what has driven her.
Oh, dear.
She's having a bit of a midlife crisis.
Yeah.
It's too much. Her tour, countdown, it's all overwhelming her.
It's too much.
She's now taking off her glasses.
Because I'm crying.
She's actually weeping. Okay. What are you going to tell us now?
Should we start with breakfast?
Let's start with breakfast. Okay. And coffee. I used to love coffee.
Yes. You did, didn't you? So that goes back to an Arabic word. It actually referred to a type of wine originally. It came into Europe from Turkish in the early 17th century. And then coffee shops were introduced and it became all the rage.
Hold on.
But obviously came there are lots
wine.
Of types of coffee.
Forgive me, there was a coffee that was... The word coffee comes from Arabia, some part of the Middle East.
Yes, it's Arabic. It originally referred to a type of wine.
How does it get from being a type of wine to being the drink we know as coffee made from
because
coffee
it's
beans?
A stimulant, I think, is the idea. I think that is the idea.
So there was a stimulating wine called coffee.
Yeah.
And they thought, hey, we've got these beans that if we roast them and put water on them, it's a stimulating drink. It's like coffee, the wine. Oh, it's coffee. And it became called coffee. Mm. And coffee came to... Western Europe and to the British Isles in post-Elizabethan times. I mean, I associate coffee shops with people like Dr. Johnson, which is the 17th century.
Yeah, so we're talking about 4 centuries, really. The last 4 centuries, we've been able to buy our coffee from coffee houses and shops and bars, etc.
And what is interesting is that the coffee shop became popular. We think of it as a very modern phenomenon. You know, in the part of West London where I live, there's a sign at the end of my street saying, this is the last, come in here, this is the last coffee shop for 10 metres. There are so many coffee shops.
There are.
But coffee shops have been around in metropolitan places for centuries.
For a long time. Now, coffee has had its detractors, so not everybody has agreed with this. It was seen as being not quite as bad as gin, public vice number one. But there's something that stimulated a little bit too far or was simply disgusting. So some of its nicknames you'll find ninny broth, mud and syrup of soot. So some people might actually agree with that. But of course, we need to talk about the different types of things as well. So espresso, famously mispronounced as expresso. I think because people think it comes to you quickly or it comes out of the machine quickly. Espresso means pressed because the coffee grounds are pressed.
Oh, it doesn't have to do with speed.
No, nothing to do with speed.
Oh, that's good. Espresso is a pressed coffee, yeah.
It's a pressed coffee.
What's cappuccino?
Instant coffee. Cappuccino goes back to the Capuchin monks, famously, because the colour of their robes and their habits were the same as that of a cup of cappuccino.
Very good.
Macchiato means stained because there's a tiny, tiny bit of milk.
Macchiato is stained. If I knew that, I wouldn't have one. A macchiato.
Well, if you think of the immaculate or the macula of your eye, it all goes back to the idea of a single stain.
I didn't know that.
Or immaculate means having no stain.
Having no stain, and the macula is the single spot in your eye, is it?
Yes.
And what about Dirty Mac?
What is a Dirty Mac? The Dirty Mac Brigade. I think that's a new kind of coffee. I've not tried that one.
Oh, yeah, it could be. Actually, I'll have a Dirty Mac. Oh, what do you think? Do you think they serve you at McDonald's a Dirty Mac and it's a Big Mac with an aubergine sticking out?
Yes. Silence was deserved for that, I believe, and that is what it got. So. Croissant? Do you like croissant?
I love a croissant. I try to steer clear of too many of them, though, when I'm on a low-carb diet.
Yes.
Because they haven't got a lot of protein in. So this morning, on my way to you, I had a croissant, because I know there'll be no food here. I had a croissant with cheese and tomato.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Which was delicious.
That sounds very nice.
What is the origin of croissant?
Croissant simply, as you would guess, from the French crescent, because that is the shape of a croissant. So simple as that. We haven't mentioned cereal. Do you like cereal?
Not really. Well, I went through a muesli phase.
Yeah, I make my own. Not that anybody really wants to hear about that, but they might want to hear about where cereal comes from, because it had such lofty beginnings and is really been reduced to Cocoa Pops, which is a bit of a come down when you realise that cereal goes back to Ceres, the goddess of fertility, linked to the spring, etc. And
Ceres, C-E-R-E-S, the goddess of spring.
Well, yes.
And that's where the crops are coming up and you can see the barley, the oats are growing.
Yes.
And that was the lovely goddess Ceres.
Yes. It was more, she was a goddess of agriculture and fertility. So sort of burgeoning growth. So, you know, yes, you can see spring there. But she was honoured in May, in fact, at this festival. It's April and May, and it was a 7-day festival in April, which there were chariot races, sort of amazing sacrifices made as a tribute to her. So if you consider that beginning and then go back to cornflakes, can you imagine how far we've come?
Well, actually, when you're in the mood, cornflakes...
Well, that's true. Cornflakes and banana.
White sugar, actually a chopped banana, and really cold milk
can
be quite a taste sensation.
That's
true. I haven't had it for years. I love
it. I remember those.
Go Pops. Read all about it.
Bread. Should we talk about a little bit of bread thing?
What's the origin of muesli? The word muesli, where does that come from?
Muesli is simply Swiss. And it is something I'm going to have to look up, actually. I know it's Swiss.
While you're looking it up.
I don't know if there was a man called Mr. Muesli. I doubt it.
There is a breakfast food in Switzerland called the Swiss Kiss. No, it's a Swiss Miss. Forgive me. It's Swiss Miss. It's a Swiss Miss. It's a kind of muesli you can buy called Swiss Miss. Have you been to Switzerland?
A long time ago.
In your younger snogging days, were you ever... The victim.
Embraced by a Swiss Miss.
Anything is possible. No, did you ever enjoy a Swiss kiss? Do you know what a Swiss kiss is?
I have no idea.
A Swiss kiss, you know what a French kiss is?
I do.
A Swiss kiss is a French kiss through which you yodel. It makes a terrible noise and there's a slight aftertaste of Emmental, but I do assure you it's huge fun.
Let's move quickly on. I have now looked up muesli.
Yes.
German regional Swiss formulation. It's a diminutive of a regional variant. So this is Swiss dialect. Mousse, meaning stew or stewed fruit.
Ah.
So little stewed fruit. So obviously that was what it was first.
Little stewed. So muesli actually means little stewed fruits.
Little stewed fruit.
Little stewed fruit.
Especially when it's got an umlaut on it. Me being a lover of German. But
would that be on the U?
Slipped off
the muesli,
now.
Muesli. Because the umlaut, the U-M-L-A-U-T, are the two little lines that go above certain vowels.
In German.
And they change the pronunciation.
They do.
Muesli.
But we don't tend to keep them in...
Muesli is how it would be, as opposed to muesli. Muesli is with the umlaut. Muesli is without.
Might you have a, speaking of German food, might you have a pretzel for breakfast? I love pretzels.
Not for breakfast. What is a pretzel? I do know what it is.
It's a salted bit of bread, really, that's then cooked in the shape of a knot. And it goes back to a Latin term, believe it or not, brachiatus, which was a kind of cake eaten on monastic days. But it goes back to the Latin for folded arms, because if you look at a pretzel, it looks like a pair of folded arms like that. Isn't that great? I love that.
Oh, but this is the joy. When you next pop a pretzel into your mouth for your small talk, this is why people tune in, I may say so, to Something Rhymes with Purple, because it improves their cocktail chitter-chatter no end. Because what a come-hither line. There you are, dipping into the pretzels. You catch her eye and you say, did you know that the pretzel originates from the word for folding your arms?
Yeah.
And what in what language was that?
That goes back to Latin.
Latin, the original language of love, madam.
Exactly. Halibut, speaking of...
I used to like a kipper for breakfast, so I've never had a halibut for breakfast, but people did used to eat fish. So give me halibut.
I was thinking more of the religious connection. Halibut is the holy butt being a type of flat fish. And Halley was short for holy. Well, it was a sort of...
That's the origin of the word halibut?
Yes, it was a holy fish.
Oh, that is amazing.
Yeah.
Do you ever have fish for breakfast?
Well, you might have kippers, might you?
You do. When sometimes, if you go to a grand hotel, and occasionally I go to a grand... My wife and I will go for a sort of luxury weekend at a grand hotel, which is a great treat, you know. Well, the theory is a great treat, you know, sitting by the roaring log fire in the afternoon and all that. But you have a nice breakfast. You go down and you have the works. And the works can include kippers, because you can't do kippers at home because the house then stinks for weeks. Whereas, actually, it annoys me when people have kippers in the restaurant, the next table not having kippers. So I say, if I've ordered the scrambled egg, oh, I better have the kippers because they're having the kippers because the wafts all the way over. Kippers. What's the origin of kippers?
I should have been looking that up.
You should. That's why I was waffling on.
Story.
And then we'll get on to
kippers. I have no idea. Or etymology uncertain. There you go. Hopefully that's why I didn't know.
What fascinates me is that there are so many words where it is etymology uncertain. Nobody knows the origin of the word kipper.
No.
Or why there are kippers. Because it's one fish, isn't it? A kipper.
Yeah.
Why are they called kippers? I'll have the kippers. You don't say, I'll have the kipper. In fact, you only want one.
Oh, I'd say I'll have kipper. But actually, I don't say it very often because I don't eat kipper anymore. But
I think they offer you kippers. I think people refer to it as kippers.
Even if it's one?
Even if it's just one.
Interesting. What about cake? Do you have cake for breakfast?
Very, very rarely.
Okay, cake for tea then. Should we move on to tea? Because that's your favourite.
We can move on to tea. Yes, let's move on to...
Well,
should we have a break and then do tea after?
Let's have some breakfast.
Let's have our breakfast break and then have some tea. What we're promising you now is the origin of cake after the ad break.
Well, types of cake particularly.
Have some Madeira, my dear.
We're going to settle the question, scone or scone?
Hello, it's me, Jamie Lang, and I've got a new podcast, and this time there are no gimmicks. It's just great company. Because the thing is, I realise the reason I love podcasts so much is because they're a great way to connect with people.
Hello, I'm Youngblood.
Joe Brand.
I'm Paloma Faith.
Jay Blades.
Elizabeth Day.
Zara Larson. Casper
Lee. And I'm Great Company.
Great Company.
Great Company.
Great Company.
Apparently.
It's Great Company with me, Jamie Lang. Coming Wednesday, the 27th of March.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
We're back. Susie has been egging me on to talk about things other than breakfast, but I won't because I'm a breakfast person. I might allow us to talk a bit about cake, but I want to keep the other meals for another day.
I often have cake for breakfast.
Tell me. But I said egging me on. What's the origin of egging me on? Because I always have eggs for breakfast when I can.
Yeah, nothing to do with eggs. Everything to do with the Viking word, igian, which meant to incite somebody to do something or to urge somebody on.
So egging someone on is urging someone on.
Yes, nothing. All to do with the Vikings, not to do with eggs.
Oh, gosh. You live and learn. Then, of course, you die and forget it all. But meanwhile, you feel enriched by it. On to cakes. You have cakes. Cake for breakfast.
I do, sometimes.
And yet you look, if I may say so, so slim. One shouldn't make personal remarks, but you are looking very slim.
Well, as you know, I always try to put weight on. So I know this sounds wonderful to some people, but actually it's really annoying. I can look really gaunt if I don't eat. So cake for breakfast is actually quite handy for me.
And what are your favourite cakes?
Well, it depends. I mean, would you call a pain au raisin a cake?
A pain au raisin? I'd call it a kind of pastry or croissant.
All right, okay. I'm not averse to a bit of Victoria sponge.
Pain means bread. Mm-hmm. Au means
that's why we have a panier.
And
let's talk about bread. Companion, somebody with whom you eat your bread.
Companion.
Yes.
Pain is in the middle of it. The word for bread, companion.
Food is everywhere. Okay, so a mate was somebody with whom you ate meat. And meat actually once meant all food. So when you talk about one man's meat as another man's poison, that's referring to meat as all food. That was the first Anglo-Saxon meaning of meat, just as deer meant all animals. So before they needed to really differentiate, meat meant everything. So that was...
So your mate.
Your mate.
You're my mate. That means we eat meat together. And yes. Meat means everything. So we can be a couple of veggies actually eating meat.
Yes.
And we're mates. You're also my companion because... We
break bread together.
We break bread together. Mm. And the breaking of bread, that is religious in origin, is it? Because of the breaking of the bread in the Bible?
Yes, probably. But it was simply somebody...
Last Supper and all that.
Who you alongside...
You sat. Companionable.
Yes. As opposed to a parasite. Parasite from the Greek meaning sitting beside somebody and pinching their food. That was the first meaning of a parasite, was somebody who literally sat beside you at the dinner table and pinched your scran.
So you wouldn't do that if you were a companion?
Back
to cake.
Yes.
What is the origin of the word cake before we get on to the specific types?
Cake itself, not so interesting. It's probably the Old Norse kaka, which I know has got other
horrid meaning in French. Kaka was the sort of rude word when I was a child for boo.
Exactly.
Boo.
But you'll find it in lots of different things. You'll find it in Kuchen, you know, the German.
Kuchen for
German
cooking.
Cake, not linked to the Latin cocere to cook, which is what people used to think.
Oh, so cake has got nothing to do with cooking?
Not in that sense. No, it doesn't go back to the Latin for that. So cake, cookies obviously are cooked. Biscuits means twice cooked in French because it referred to savoury and sweet biscuits that were literally cooked twice.
Cook is not connected with cake. Cook is connected with biscuits because biscuit is twice cooked in French.
Yes.
It's subtle stuff, this. What is your favourite cake?
My favourite cake is probably the Victoria sponge, named after...
Queen Victoria.
Of course.
Until our present queen, the longest-serving British monarch. And was it made for her, Victoria sponge? Was it made to celebrate one of her...
It was named for her. Apparently she was keen to have a slice with her afternoon cup of tea.
She was a great and good woman. You know, she smoked the occasional
cigarette.
Did
you ever meet her?
Fun enough... No, but I once went to a séance where she appeared. Oh, yeah, yes. Oh, you can't.
What did she say?
We are not amused. She was nothing if not predictable. Queen Victoria. Queen Victoria had a cake named in her honour.
Yeah.
She had some great chefs who worked for her. And people like Escoffier, it's the same sort of period, isn't it? And they created dishes. And the Victoria sponge was named in her honour. And she enjoyed Victoria
Apparently
sponge.
So.
I was going to say that she also enjoyed, oddly enough, the occasional cigarette.
Oh, did she?
There's a photograph of Queen Victoria smoking a cigarette on a picnic in Scotland. I think it was to keep off the midges. But she was a woman full of surprises. The Battenberg, where does that come from? The Battenberg
invented for the marriage of Louis of Battenberg into the British royal family.
Yes.
In the
1880s. This is the grandfather of the Duke of Edinburgh. I've never really liked a Battenberg cake. It's the one with sort of different colours. And it's got marzipan involved, I think.
It has.
And I'm not a marzipan person, but you'll know the origin of marzipan.
This is interesting, all of this, because if you listen to the wonderful Wittertainment podcast, they talk a lot about Battenberg cake. Okay, marzipan is either a borrowing from German or a borrowing from Italian. That's helpful. So either marzipan in German or Italian marzipane. And ultimately it goes
Matzipan, it does sound like the pens is advancing, doesn't it? Matzipan, here they come.
Either way, it goes back to the city of Matapan, famous for the glazed jars it exported containing preserves and sweetmeats.
Matapan.
Very interesting.
That's the origin of Matapan.
Marmalade has got quite an interesting history because there's a story, apocryphal as it turns out, attached to it, that it, staying with royal connections, that it comes from a connection with Mary, the Queen of Scots. Mary, Queen of Scots. Marie est malade. She is ill. And the story goes that because she was ill, it was thought that a jar of preserves, something sweet, might restore her to health. In fact, it goes back to Portuguese for quince, because that's what the first marmalades were made out of, marmalada, quince.
Well, as we spread the marmalade on our toast,
yes,
let's raise our glasses to confuse one toast with another. Why is a toast called a toast? Is it is actually to do with toast, the toasted bread, isn't it?
To do
it,
remind with us? Little pieces of spiced bread that were added to rather cheap wine in order to enhance its flavour. And when you toast somebody, the idea is that the company enhances the flavour of the gathering in the same way as the spiced toast enhances the flavour of the drink.
Well, the company we keep, and now we know companion, comes from the people you're happy to break bread with. We are very happy to keep the company of our listeners, who, I'm very pleased to say, get in touch on a regular basis, sending in queries. Occasionally, they say nice things about me, but mostly they are asking specific questions of Susie Dent because they know she has all the answers. Let me pass this to you. You pick one of the questions out of our lucky dip bag. We have listeners all over the world, by the way. Thank you very much. People from Australia and the United States, I know, are tuning in. There's somebody in Dubai, who is listening on top of the Burj Al Arab, which is pretty impressive. I don't know if Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum listens, but I hope he does.
Well, as we're talking about food, there's some quite nice things here. It's actually less a question and more a lovely comment.
Who's it from?
From Nathan in Melbourne.
Nathan in Melbourne?
Yes, in Melbourne. It says, here in Australia, it seems we have a special relationship with slang, and following are a couple to add to the bags of mystery. Bags of mystery, for those who remember, was old slang for sausages. Because
a sausage.
You never knew what was in them.
Is a bag of mystery. Bag of mystery. I sometimes have bangers and mash. Bangers
ones.
At breakfast. I used to have veggie ones now, but yes. What's the origin of bangers?
Simply because we think they go bang in the pan. When they, you know, if they're not pricked, then they might pop.
There's a song in
poppers,
that. Let's
really.
Go. Bang in the pan. Bang in the pan. If you're not pricked in that. Okay, on you go.
Okay, so.
It's because we're going to do theatre next week. Musical theatre, I hope.
A couple
we'll
of classics
singing.
That Nathan yes. has sent on. Rat coffin for meat pie.
A rat coffin.
Bum nuts for eggs. Now, I know in the Marines they call them cackle farts, so that's not too dissimilar.
Bum nuts for eggs. That's this is Aussie slang for eggs.
Yes.
Pass us the bum nuts.
Yes. And snot block for a vanilla slice. Love the podcast, by the way, Nathan. Well, thank you. I'm not sure I like many of those.
Snot, what's the last one? I'm sorry.
Snot block for a vanilla
snot
slice.
Snot block.
I have no idea why.
No, because what happens? Have you ever eaten a vanilla slice?
I have.
Yeah, it all gets up your nose.
Is that creme pâtissière?
Yes, you're spooning it up to your face and it all gets stuck in your nose. I don't know if we've had our commercial break yet, but if Magnum want to advertise, we would welcome them advertising.
Which one do you go for?
I go for the vegan classic.
Ooh.
It is a sensation.
I have to try this. It sounds
you know amazing. Where Magnum got the idea for making Magnums?
Tom Selleck?
No. Not bad.
Okay.
Close. You're warmer than you think.
Right.
Roger Moore.
Oh.
Roger Moore as a child used to love choc ices, as I did.
Mm-hmm.
And choc ices used to come in a little silver wrapping. But it's quite messy to eat. And so he thought, why aren't they on a stick? Like a lollipop. So he wrote to the ice cream company that made choc ices, saying, "When this is 50 years ago, when he was in the Saint or something,
yeah.
saying, what about creating an ice cream, choc ice on a stick?
Yeah.
And they wrote back saying, excellent idea, Mr. Moore. And that's
you
the origin.
Call them the Moores rather than the Magnums, but I guess Magnum makes more sense.
Magnum's pretty good anyway. Oh, of course, there were people, I mean, some people will eat anything at breakfast. I remember being in Texas once and people were eating steaks for breakfast.
Yeah.
They were having Bloody Marys.
American breakfast, yeah.
Steaks, Bloody Marys, and smoking cigars. What about that?
Cigars? Well, look, we have a question from Chris Harris. Dear Susie and Giles, I recall CSI commenting on how the term close but no cigar came into being. And Chris is absolutely right. It goes back to American fun fairs where the prize, believe it or not, I'm not sure if it was offered to kids, was a cigar quite often. If you hit the target, if the, what's the thing that if you hit a hammer, what shoots up?
What's it called? You hit the hammer and a thing like a goes boing at
yes.
the top. Yeah.
If you hit it hard enough, prize would be a cigar. So if you didn't quite make the target, you were close, but you didn't get a cigar.
Oh, so what's it called? What's
close
the phrase?
But no cigar.
Close but no cigar.
Yes.
I love it.
It's good, isn't it?
I love everything that you know. And I the part of the program that many people love the most is where we have your trio. And the idea of Something Rhymes with Purple is basically we chit-chat about the language, and if you like what we say, you tell your friends. If you don't, well, there we are, fuck you. That's the point. And Susie always gives us a trio of words, either words that we've not come across before or words that we're very familiar with, like swan song, and gives us the origin, which amazes us. What have you got for us this week?
Okay, well, I have pumpernickel. You might possibly like a bit of pumpernickel bread.
Oh, I love pumpernickel.
Yes. Pumpernickel. Actually, it goes back to the German for farting demon, because it's supposed to make you quite windy.
I no longer like pumpernickel. I loved pumpernickel until just now. Pumpernickel means farting
pumpen,
demon.
Pumpen in French is...
In German,
it's a bit of a windy pop. Pumpen. We have pump as well, don't we? Let's move swiftly on.
No, pump, and where's the nickel?
Nickel, yes. Now, that means demon in German. So the ore, you know, the ore nickel, the sort of silvery metal.
As in the nickel coin, as it were, which may have some nickel in it, the American
nickel. Absolutely right. Mm. That was a shortening of Kupfernickel, which was the copper-coloured ore from which nickel was first obtained. But also, very often, miners would chance upon... something that they thought was silver and precious metal, but in fact it turned out to be nickel. And so nickel was the sort of the demon ore that they really didn't want, but that was there in plentiful supply, if that makes any sense at all.
Pumpernickel means a...
farting demon.
A farting demon.
Yes.
Well, that's put us off pumpernickel, but it's put us in a good frame of mind. Any more?
Yes, the next thing, the elegant little cake called the Madeleine.
The Madeleine.
La Madeleine.
La Madeleine.
Really nice. Now...
is that the one in the famous, in the Proust novel? À la recherche du temps perdu. And the Madeleine brings back memories. You just smell the Madeleine and all sorts of memories come back.
In fact, Madeleine goes back to Mary Magdalene, believe it or not. So it was named in her honour. Now, Mary Magdalene gave us the word maudlin because in... pictures and in art, she is often portrayed as crying and being quite weak.
So maudlin as an M-A-U-D-L-I-N.
Yes. Now remember, there was confusion between the pronunciations of those. So the Oxford College, Magdalen College, is actually pronounced maudlin.
Oh! Persons from Porlock will explain that expression in a moment. There's a knock at the door. This podcast is produced. I hate it being produced because it actually ought to be free-flowing. It means they edit out little bits because apparently there are moments when we get libelous or slanderous. But you must not cut this bit out because there's somebody at the door. But if she's signing something at the door, maybe she's ordered a nice little lunch for us because, frankly, I've looked in the fridge. It's empty. The whole place is empty. It's like the Marie Celeste here because she spends all her time up in Manchester making Countdown. Just comes home occasionally, opens the fridge. There is some sort of few breakfast things, a bit of pumpernickel, some milk going off. You can hear her in the background chatting to the Deliveroo man. He's coming back in. Who was that, Susie?
That was a deliverer.
A deliverer?
Of school uniforms.
Of school uniforms? Oh, not having one of those parties again, are you? It's so passé. Totally 80s. Please, honestly. So,
Where
were we?
We were on the big question of the day. Scone or scone?
Oh, have we finished what we were last doing?
Yeah,
sure?
I think we've heard enough about
that. No, you had to give us the third of your...
Yes.
Scone, that is it.
It's scone or scone.
We've had...
Scone is my...
Forgive me. So we've had...
Okay.
I'll sum up. Pumpernickel.
Pumpernickel. Madeleine.
Madeleine, the French cake. And now scone.
Yes.
Or is it scone?
Exactly.
What is the answer?
You're going to hate me. Either.
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 It Let's can be either or off. Either. It can be either or either?
Yes. The Oxford Dictionary will give you both. It depends where you live. Depends slightly on your class, apparently. But most audiences, and you will, I asked this in my in my show. Do you say scone or scone? And most say scone. I have to say, I say scone. Looking at Gully. Gully says scone. What do you say?
I say scone.
Okay, well, there you go. But scone to me sounds slightly fussy. But if you look up the origin, it goes back to the German Schönbrot, meaning fine bread.
Ah, schön.
So you could say that scone
schön.
Not
also,
too far off.
In Scotland, you might pronounce it scone. I'll have some scones before I visit the Scone of Scone. Is there something called the Stone of Scone, isn't there? But
there
that's
is.
A different thing.
That is a different thing.
When both Susie Dent and I have recently been on tour, and I'm going back on tour, more of that in a moment.
Yeah, me too. I'm doing that.
Oh, you're doing... They can't get enough of us. Or perhaps we can't get enough of them.
I think that's true.
It's actually rather sad at our age still to be needing love and approbation, let alone acclamation. But we both went to Shrewsbury. Which do you think it should be?
Can you believe that I talk about words in my tour? Not one person said, how do you pronounce Shrewsbury or Shrewsbury? Yeah, which is the correct one? It can be either, right?
It can in
they
a way
say Shrewsbury,
be.
Shrewsbury, don't they?
They do. There is a river near there known as the Shrew.
Okay.
So maybe it is Shrewsbury. Mm. And essentially what people seem to do is the people who live in the town only call it Shrewsbury. Mm. The people who have children at the boys' public school, which may now take girls, call it Shrewsbury. So there is a kind of class thing in there. Shrewsbury or Shrewsbury. The people in the street call it Shrewsbury without the R.
Did you know, by the way, this is apropos of nothing, that if you are shrewd, you are like a shrew.
If you're a shrew.
Forget the fact that shrew is in shrewd, because the small mammal with a long pointy snout and the tiny eyes has the look of someone who is quite sort of observant and pernickety and wise.
So if you're shrewd, it's because you look like a shrew.
Well, yes. That was the original.
An incidental extra. By the way, final thing on scone before we say goodbye. And people take a break and have their tea. Or indeed their midnight scone, whatever time they happen to be listening to this. I hope your mouth is watering. The great debate, jam or cream first on your scone?
For me, because my father lives in Devon, it's got to be jam first.
I thought that was Cornwall.
No, I think that's Devon.
Well, I think that's Cornwall.
Really?
Well, Dawn French, really? I hope she's listening. Okay. She will tell us. She's a complete obsessive about this.
Wrong,
I say it's cream first and jam on top because the cream is the equivalent of butter.
You're right. In Devon, typically spread the clossy cream first. Well, no, I'm afraid I'm with Cornwall then.
Yeah, you're with Cornwall. She doesn't know anything.
I know, I like scones.
It shows you how bluff and bluster can get you a long way in life. How many years have you been in Dictionary
Corner? I'm a bloviator.
What does that mean?
That can be my extra for the trio of words. A bloviator is somebody full of inflated and empty rhetoric. A blower of hot air. That's me.
Thank you. That's Susie Dent. I don't recognise that description when it comes to me at all. I'm Giles Brandreth. Look, if you enjoyed the podcast today, review us, if you would. Rate us. Help spread the word. And then we can go on chatting to you. If you want to tweet us or email us at purple@somethingelse.com.
Do you know what? The Queen likes jam first.
The Queen likes jam first.
On that note.
If it's good enough for the Queen, it's good enough for us. Something Rhymes with Purple is a Something Else production. It was produced, sort of, by Paul Smith, with additional production from Lawrence Bassett, Steve Ackerman, and Gully.